Right, good morning, everybody. Believing you're all well. Right, this morning I'm going to be speaking from a very, very familiar scripture. If you've been in the church long, there is no way you've probably not heard a sermon from Daniel chapter 1, okay? And just like Samuel alluded to in his, when he solicited for prayer and also pastor, I will be talking to our young people because I know most of the young Rev Gens and the Youth Dynamics are here. So, but even though for the old people, yes, not you will not be left out. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I've titled it Babylon's Recruitment. I've titled it Babylon's Recruitment because there is a recruitment going on. Hallelujah. So please, if you're with your Bible, I want you to open to Daniel chapter 1. Okay, please open to Daniel chapter 1. And as usual, I will have it displayed here. Sorry about the flickering of that. Okay. I think it's my cable. I might need to change it. Okay. Are we all in Daniel chapter 1? Right. I read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Let's stop there for now. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the book of Daniel. We want to study about Daniel, but the Bible does not start from telling us about Daniel. If you read other prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, when that book started, it started with those people. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos. That's how Isaiah started. But in this case, God is alluding us to something. That in Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, something happened. That there was a king. And during the reign of this king, something happened. Nebuchadnezzar captured Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar captured the city of God. And it's recorded that it was during the reign of this king. Now, that might sound ordinary to some people, but to me, it captured me. It struck my heart about God's recording, what God actually records. That it is recorded that God's people actually fell to the enemy, but it was during the reign of this king. That God records, he takes account that, oh, during somebody's watch, during somebody's leadership, something terrible actually happened. It struck my heart. You know, I teach young people that, oh, what is God recording about my teaching? Will it be recorded that during my time of teaching, because of an omission or a commission, the young people I teach, we are captured by the enemy? I'm a parent also. Will it be said because of an omission from me as a parent that that the enemy actually captured? Or will it be the other way around, that because I did my work very well, faithfully, that God actually had vessels he will use? The Bible records that it was during the reign of this king that Jerusalem was captured. The city of God was captured. And you look at verse 2. The Bible said God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to his hand. Now, that God giving is something like this. Look, God is a defender, a protector of his people, right? But when we insist of going our way, of being disobedient, what God does, okay, allow you. The Bible says in Romans, he abandoned the people to their own minds. God just said, okay, and that is what happened. Because he had sent prophet upon prophet. Read the book of Jeremiah. It was warnings to the people of Israel that, look, if you do not come back, you will be taken captive. And that is what happened. That God now gave up and said, all right, that protection, that covering was lost because the people did not heed God's word. Right. And now the Bible now says that some of the vessels of the house of God were taken. I mean, vessels that were meant to be used to worship God. We are taken from Jerusalem and taken where? To the temple of the Babylonian God. Again, that might look ordinary. But if you read the book of Exodus, God actually commanded Moses. He said, God gave him the specification of all those articles, all those vessels. He gave them specifications and then said, be careful, Moses, that you make all these things according to specification. But do you know what? Somebody was careless. Because of that carelessness, those vessels that were meant to be used for God, we are taken to the Babylonian temple. And in a way, that is what I'll be talking about this morning. But not articles, not corpses. I am talking about lives. Lives that are meant to be serving God. But what? Are being recruited, taken under our noses to serve the Babylonian God, to serve the world. You know, Babylon was an empire. I'm sure you all know that. But also in the Bible, it is used figuratively as a symbol of the world system, as a symbol of things that are anti-God. And it is in that context I'll be looking at this verse, this book. Hallelujah. Let's just go ahead. That's the background. Verse 3 now says, then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel because of Joachim's, you know, behavior. This is now happening. Because of an omission, because of a carelessness, this is now happening. The king is now commanding his chief eunuch. You know, if you've been following Stuart's teaching about the armor of God, he actually taught that nobody gets the devil himself. You know, the devil attacks God. Nobody gets it. He sends his minions. You know, he even said it last week. You know, and you see the king of Babylon is sending his chief. Say, look, I want you to do something. I want you to bring the people of Israel, both of the royal family. Now, you might say, I am not an Israelite or I'm not of the royal family. But what does the New Testament tell us? About being the Israelite of God. About being a chosen generation. A royal what? Priesthood. God's special people. And because of that, the enemy also wants you. He wants you. He wants to recruit you for his own purpose. Let's go ahead. So, that was the headhunter, the recruiter. He's Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch. So, the king has given him a command. Please bring these people. Sorry, the enemy is after you for a purpose. Sorry to say that. Now, let's look at the person spec. Okay? The Bible now says, youth without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. Do you know anybody that fit this criteria? Look around you. I can see many of them. See that here. But it's so unfortunate, you know, that sometimes our young people don't know what God has put in them. But, you know, the enemy actually knows. Because he was there, remember? He was there. He was there. He was before God, before he fell. He was there. He knows that what God has put in us. But we do not know. And some of you might say, I am not really well. I don't fall into these youths. The enemy still wants you. Because he wants to make you a treasure to say, look, I have conquered this one. I have conquered this one now. It's in my capture. I have conquered him. And also he knows if he gets you, he gets your children or your grandchildren or anybody you have influence. So he says, get them. Youths of blemish. And then what is the strategy? To teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. These people had their own language. They had their own literature. They had their own lifestyle. But what? Teach them the Babylonian lifestyle. That is what the enemy wants. Can we talk about what our children are being taught in school? a lifestyle that is not godly, and they are promoting it. That is what the enemy wants. Teach them the lifestyle that is not of God, the Babylonian lifestyle, the lifestyle that doesn't glorify God. The world will not teach our children about a God he does not know or recognize. That responsibility falls with us to teach them, to make them know that, look, God has endowed you with talent. God has endowed you with wisdom. God has endowed you with, even himself, because many of them do not know. Make them know that they are beautiful, they are handsome, not by the world standard, but because they are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because if we don't tell them, the world will tell them something and recruit them and teach a lifestyle that is not godly to them. Praise the Lord. So that was the specification, and the strategy of recruitment is to teach them wrong things. Things that do not glorify God. A lifestyle of the Chaldeans, of the Babylonians. Now there was an enticement. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine he drank. Let me stop there for a while. Now, even though, yes, we do not have, you know, that kind of dietary restrictions that the Israelites had those times, but I liken this to what we feed our minds on. The Bible says every day, daily, what are we being bombarded with on our TV, on our radio, on the phones, everything, billboards, Babylonian lifestyle, a lifestyle that does not glorify God. What does the songs that have been released, what are the programs, all those things on the TV, what lifestyle, all the Love Island and all the reality TVs, what are they promoting? What lifestyle is that promoting? Does that glorify God? Where people are thrown in and said, okay, yes, go and fornicate and do things. And young people are actually watching those things and thinking that is how to find love. Daily we are being bombarded. Everyone, when one finishes, another one starts. They are bombarding us. Why? They want our young people. But if we do not educate them, the world will get them. Because the enemy knows what God has put in these young ones. And you can see here, it actually says that they were educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to do what? Stand before the king. Not the king of heaven. You know, that standing before the king is, who are you doing this bidding? The king of the world. Instead of standing before the king of, you know, Elijah, he went before Ahab and said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand. You know, there will be no rain for 3.5 years except by my word. They declared God's word. But what the world wants, our young ones, wants us to stand before them, to stand before their king. And because of that, they daily bombard us with all these things. What is he trying to do? To weaken our defenses, our resistance, to desensitize us. So that those things that God says, this is a sin. After a while, they begin to say, did God really say this is a sin? You know, but I don't see anything wrong. They love each other. You know, look at this. Oh, it is so much fun. They make it look appealing. Very, very appealing to capture the minds of this young one. Just like the enemy did to Eve, right? He went and said, did God really say? And Eve's eyes opened. It's a trap. To see those things. To get us to disobey God. To get us to imbibe a lifestyle that does not glorify God. Friends, I don't know if you are becoming so sympathetic to the lifestyle of the world that you are beginning to doubt God's word or God's standard. Please be careful. Because I have some scriptures here that is repeated twice in the book of Proverbs. I have it in different translations there. That there is a way. It looks very right. It looks okay. It looks harmless. But the Bible says the end is death. The end is destruction. Please Don't get sympathetic with the ways of the world. What God says is a sin, please, it's a sin. What God says is not good, is not good. That is the standard. Even if some people who call themselves, oh yes, they are the synod or whatever, begin to debate whether, should we accept it? Should we not accept it? I used to ask, who gave those people the authority to change scripture, to make, you know, those kind of, you know, declarations? The enemy wants them, our young people, to stand before their king. Now let us look at our candidates. The Bible says among these, we are Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and they're of the tribe of Judah. Now there are a few things I get there. We are studying about, this is the book of Daniel, but Daniel wasn't alone. He has friends, godly friends. And my prayer for some of you young ones is that God will give you godly friends. God will give you friends that are like-minded, who want to serve God too. I'm sure you remember the story in chapter 2. You know, when the king made a declaration, he had a dream actually, and said, tell my dream, and also interpret it. Nobody could. He now said, kill all of the wise men. And then when Daniel heard, he called his friends and said, let us pray. Let us pray to the God of heaven that God will reveal these things. I pray you have friends that you can call together and pray and make things change in your schools or whatever situation you may be in. And parents, please let us pray for good friends for our children. You know, a colleague of mine once told me something that I learned from. She had adult children, you know, she had adult children. One of them was in university, her daughter was in university. And she told me that she met this person's, her daughter's boy, so-called boyfriend. And after she met the boyfriend, when the boy left, the girl came to her and said, mommy, please do not pray him away. I really like him. And then I asked her, why would she say that? She said, look, when, since they were young, any friend of theirs that her spirit does not agree, she prayed them out and they knew it. And they actually knew it. And that's why they're begging her, please do not pray him away. So please, any friend of your child that you don't like, pray them out of their life. Any person they are bringing, pray them out of their life. That God will give them godly friends. Amen. Also, another thing we see here is that the Bible says, among these, that means there were others. But what happened to them? No record. What happened to the other ones? They were also royal people from the royal family, also of the tribe of Judah. But what happened to them? Nothing. My prayer is that even as we are all here, that heaven have a our names are written in the Lamb's book of the life. That our names are in heaven. That heaven is saying, yes, this person belongs to me. Others have been recruited. I am sure, you know, there are lots of these celebrities, musicians, that when you hear their story, how did you become a musician? I started in church. I started in the choir. But what happened along the way? The songs that they are singing, the lyrics of their songs, their music video is glorifying another king, the king of Babylon. That is not the portion of our children in Jesus' name. So those were the candidates. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't even show that. And then there was an induction there. The Bible says, now the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. For Daniel, he called him Belteshazzar. Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. You see, a change of names, a change of identity. Forget your Hebrew names, your godly names. Take on our Babylonian lifestyle and our Babylonian identity. Hallelujah. You know, one thing that baffles me, that we remember Daniel by his Hebrew name, right? But his friends, it is by their Babylonian name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't even remember that he is actually Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And people actually give their children those names. Abednego, I know people who's called Meshach or Shadrach. Those are Babylonians' names. Hallelujah. But anyway, let's go ahead. But The Bible says, Daniel's resolution. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. He made a decision. He knows this thing is defiling. This is an against God's standard for my life. He decided, I will not defile myself. Friends, what have you resolved? What have you resolved? Have you made that resolution that I will not defile myself? I will not defile my mind. I will not defile my body. Have you made that resolution? Because it is not when temptation comes that you now decide, okay, yes, I'm going to stand. It is before that you make a stand and say, look, whether it comes, when it comes, okay, I am going to be pure. I am going to keep myself for God. I will make myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You make that decision then that I will not be conformed to the standard of this world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Daniel resolved. And then what happened? God acted on his behalf. Because he resolved, he made a resolution. The Bible says God gave him favor. He didn't have to do all night prayers for favor. He didn't go for a special anointing service for favor. God granted him. Friend, there's a blessing in just obedience. In just being obedient. You know, Psalm 32 one said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, who God does not impute sin to him. There is that blessing of just obeying. Oh, that we will obey him. And even in verse 12, you know, I'm sure you all know the story. I won't go into much details. When the Enoch said, look, if you don't eat this, you are going to look pale. You are going to look terrible, and the king will have my head. That's what they say. If you don't partake of this, you won't have good social skills. You will not be intelligent. You will not be sociable. That's the lies of the enemy. Try God. God will give you the right skills. And the Bible says, for these youths, God gave them. Oh, that God will give you learning. I know most of you are in school. That God will give you wisdom that are beyond what your peers could imagine. Our God does that. The one that gave Solomon, he can give unto you. And Daniel had understanding. Even he gave them some gifts. Daniel had an understanding of visions and of dreams. But first, Daniel had to take a stand. Oh, that our young people will take a stand. Even we will take a stand and say, yes, even though the airways are polluted, I will not defile myself. I will stand for God. I will be a living sacrifice. I will not be a vessel in the king of Babylon's temple. I will be for God of heaven. Hallelujah. I have some other scriptures here. Oh. Yeah, I have here. We will never know what God can do if we compromise. What if Daniel had compromised? Will he have got all this? Will he have got the favor that God gave him? All this other thing. What if he had compromised? So I have some scriptures here. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to give support to those whose heart is blameless towards him. His eyes is looking. Who are those that are blameless? Let me show them strong support. Let me show them myself strong in their life. Let me show them that I am able, even when things are difficult. And I believe Oliver read the scriptures a fortnight ago. It says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Come out. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. God is calling us, come out, be separate from them. Be separate from those life, the worldly lifestyles. And he says what? I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Come out and let him show himself a father, a loving father in your life. Praise the Lord. Just a few things to round up. I want to say this. that there is grace to overcome the law of Babylon. There is grace. The Bible says in Titus, for the grace of God had appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say what? No. A categorically big no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, even in this world. No, it's impossible. God gives grace to live a godly life. It is not by our own strength. It is not by might. It is not by anything. But God gives his strength. But we must say, yes, I want that strength. I want that grace. Hallelujah. And another thing to help us against the daily onslaught, I have here in Hebrews 3:13, the Bible says, but encourage one another. How long? What's the frequency? Daily. The enemy attacks us when? Daily. We are to encourage ourselves daily. As long as it is called today. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceit. Sin is very deceitful. Very, very deceitful. It will make you think that you are okay. But that Bible says, encourage one another. Sometimes encouragement is not forthcoming, but please seek encouragement. Seek it. Seek something to input in your spirit to say, look, I need to be sensitive. Seek out fellowship. Seek out something to read or listen to that puts encouragement in your spirit. Encourage one another. Daily, the Bible says. Hallelujah. And then finally, some other points here. The Bible says that now they changed the laws of Babylon, but the Bible says they paid a price. What was that price? Remember when Nebuchadnezzar built that statue and said, if you hear the sound of music, bow to it. That was a law. But that law was changed. Why was it changed? Because the three Hebrew children were taken into the furnace and they came out. Sometimes there is that price that we need to pay to change these laws that they are coming in. Even for Daniel too, when there was that law that, oh, you shouldn't pray to any other person but to the king for 3 days. But overnight, the next day, that law was changed. When Daniel entered the lion's den and came out. Sometimes that will be the price we will have to pay. Sometimes signing petitions will not change the law. Sometimes a price will have to be paid. Hallelujah. But I have a question here. That really, what will it take to produce youths like Daniel? Though I teach youth dynamics, is a question that, but what will it take to raise, because the Bible didn't tell us the background of this, what his family are, who his parents are. But what will it really take to raise young people who are like this? And even as a father, it bothers me. I want to raise my two boys to be like this. Well, what will it really take? If you know, please, here, come and share with me after us. I really want to. Honestly, it's not a joke. I really want to. As I work with young people, I want them to know who they are in Christ and not to compromise with the world. But I have some few things here. What I call spiritual Enoch for our king. People, you know, just like Paul would say, he told the Galatians, my dear children, whom I am again in pains of childbirth unto Christ. He said, look, who will pay the price? Who don't want any desire of their own, but to see Christ be glorified in the life of these young ones. You know, I've been helped by some people in my life who are, we call spiritual Enoch, because they were ordinary people. You know, ordinary people, you see them, you think, you think nothing of them. But these people had the sense of God. They knew the word of God, and they would tell me, Lekan, you can know the Bible yourself. Lekan, you can know God yourself. And some of them, even it was costly for them. And I'm praying that God will raise people like that. And even me, I'm praying that God will make me someone like that, who will be able to labor to see Christ being formed in these young ones. Hallelujah. But just to end with the way I started, the word of God cannot be downplayed. It cannot be excused. If it is done, we will find that our young people will be serving the wrong king. Praise the Lord.